Well, I wanted to share it with you this morning. Under the title, under the topic of letting the Lord build the house. And I want to talk about the spiritual house that he is building. I'm part of it. You're part of it if you know the Lord. We're not building this part of it. It's the physical part, although that maybe sometime you'll need some of that too. But the spiritual house, the house that the Lord built with his body, and we are bound together in the spiritual house. And everything we do is to build people up, is to build the house up. And we say to ourselves, Lord, is this going to build the house? Is this going to build the house of the Lord? And it's a wonderful thing. Peter says, it's built up with lively stones, living stones. Living stones made up of the saints who are saved and filled with the Spirit. And we build the house and build the house. And somebody said, what are we about? We're about building the house in any way, in all ways that we can. And so Psalm 127, I just couldn't resist it. It was such a good verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain, or those who labor in vain, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The Lord must build it, and he does that by building us and dealing with us. So God deals with us in our hearts and our lives so that we will be strengthened and we will be built up into this holy place. People think that going to church, there's nothing wrong with going to church. It's a good thing. It's a good practice, obviously. But to see it, the church as a powerful force is a whole other experience. To say, I went to church, but not seeing that you are the church. And we strengthen each other, and we pray for one another, and we hold one another, we teach one another. And we do that just to build it up. And this, by the way, this prayer, just before the service, is a wonderful way to build the house of God. Something is happening while we're doing that. It's not just say we're just having church. Something is happening in the lives of people as we are praising and sharing before the Lord. Wow, it's just a good way. That's how the church is built, I'm sure. So I thought I would mention actually 9 things. If you're still here, by the time I come to the end of it. So 9 things that I want to say, things that I think are important, so that the Valley Church would be built up and strengthened in every way. So I call it the shapings of the Lord. The Lord's at work and he's molding it and shaping it so that it becomes a great glory to him. It becomes a wonderful glory to him. And so I'll just touch on some of them. Won't be able to talk for long on all of them. Number 1, the shapings of the Lord, 1a, when the Lord enlarges you. In all of your life, all of your lives, you will have moments in your life where the Lord, for whatever reason, he decides to enlarge. And this enlargement, it has to do with our giftings. That's part of it. He enlarges us. But for some reason, he'll just start to move in somebody's life and they will become more and more significant. They will be used of the Lord in a greater way. They will be witnessing in a greater way. And it's just someone you just see as if the Lord just reached down and put his hand on them. But I think in a way that's exactly what he did. He enlarged him. He enlarged him, that person, that individual. And you can't do anything about it. It's just, if God says, I want to make you more prominent, I want to use you in a greater way. And we just humbly bow before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for enlarging me. Thank you for extending me, pressing me out. And I have sensed many times over the years, the different individuals, where I said quietly to myself, I said, there's somebody God is enlarging. There's somebody that God is putting his hand on. Say, well, he's already saved. Yes, I'm not talking about putting it for salvation, but there's somebody, they don't even maybe even know it. They're just humbly worshiping or humbly sharing the Lord or whatever they might be doing. And just to have a sense of it said, I don't know, but you watch. God is raising that person up. So, well, it's not fair. say what you want about it, whether it's fair or not, but God enlarges ministries. Where at one level you were at this level, and whatever your heart was right, somehow it got moved to this and this, and pretty soon you become very, very used of the Lord. And we just rejoice in it and say, well, thank you, Jesus, for that. This is the enlargement. And we should, there's nothing wrong with praying that either. Lord, enlarge me. Enlarge me, enlarge me, enlarge me. Don't let me just sit here. May somehow I move into other realms that you have. And I think it's just a matter of humbling ourselves and letting God do what he wants to do as he enlarges. But you're not surprised. You take on more, I hate to say it this way, but more important things are happening to you. And you're getting recognized for things. Go for a long ways, nothing, nothing, nothing. All of a sudden there's more, and then nothing, nothing, nothing. And then it happens again. It's just God building the house, just God using the bricks, that's you, to enlarge it. And I thought, wow, Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. Right? Is that how you feel too? Just don't do it without me. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when he strips us before he robes us. Somehow kind of things not working out. You just kind of strip bare, feel nothing, God's not using you at all. And maybe some truth to that or not, but all I can say about it is that this, you know, he kind of strips us bare to where nothing works, nothing happens, and it seems that it's just everything is dull and boring, and it's kind of an awful time. But he's just stripping off that pride, that arrogance. He's stripping off that, you know, the things that hinder in the way. And so if we can resist that if we want, but we'd be very wise to let him strip us bare of all the things, ripping off attitudes especially, and pride and arrogance and all those things that get in the way. He strips us of it in order that he might robe us. He's not doing it to hurt us. He rips this off and rips that off, and we're saying, Lord, here I am in the dark corner over here, and Lord, you somehow use me, and all you feel is that God is stripping you bare. And then he begins to put robes on you. And it's a wonderful thing just to see God just covering you and raising you up for holy purposes. And so he strips us before he robes us. And the robes are just the coverings of the Lord, but they're important to the building of the house of the Lord. When he makes nothing of us before he makes something of us. Isn't that how you feel? As if many times God's bypassed you? That you kind of think, well, that's what it's going to be. This is it right here. No, I'd be very careful about that. The Lord is at work, and he makes nothing of us before he makes something of us. And he has to make sure that we are low in ourselves and not pride, right? Just say, Lord, I don't know. I just want you to use me whatever way you can. And as you do that, you become nothing. I can remember, though, there was a young guy praying here, right here, exactly, right here. And he's praying like this, Lord, make me nothing, make me nothing, make me nothing. Oh, God, make me nothing. And I went over to him. I said, he's already answered your prayer a long time ago. You are nothing. You're nothing. So get that clear. And now maybe he can make you something, right? He can make you something. But it's a harrowing thing. When he's, you know, brings you down, and there you are, humbled, and nothing to boast about, nothing to be proud about, and then God begins to work, and he does that work. And you see, again, remember, these are living stones that Peter talks about. They're living stones, and he takes them, and he builds something beautiful, something wonderful. But you must let them carry on with the process. So he enlarges us, he strips us, he makes nothing of us before he makes something of us. And so that's the first thing I'll say. Second thing is that we usually end up going to the throne by the way of the cave of Abdullah. Absalom, I guess we say that. You remember, you know that story in 1 Samuel chapter 22, where David and all of his family and other people, they went down to this cave and they lived in that. And the people that were in it were running from Saul. That's what that story is about. And they were all there, and they were all in distress. They were all in distress. Barb, where are you again? I lost you for a minute. Oh, there she is. I was reminding her this morning. She came in one more day, and she said something. I said, how are you doing? Oh, she says something about back to the cliffs, back to the cave. And I remember saying, I mused on that for the longest time as to she was, it's kind of used as a metaphor, I guess, but the cave, there was safety there, but it wasn't a place anybody wanted to go. People who owed money went there, people wanted went there, and there we are in the cave. And I think there's many people that are in the caves of Adullam, and that's where you are, and maybe you're part of the group that are in debt and all the rest, I don't know. But you go the way through the caves. You're going to the throne, but you're going through the cave first. And you're in that place. He wasn't in there forever. He was in there for a period of time, though. And there was quite a few people in there with him as well. But it was this moment that happens so that you go by to the throne by the way of the cave. And I've been in the cave. You've been in the cave. You've been in the cave. And you're in that place, and it's not where you want to be, but it's where you are. And you wonder what God is doing. Well, he's working. That's number two. Number three, there's our growth in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it's a wonderful thing. He says, grow in grace. This is one of the beautiful things. You know, he's shaping us, he's molding us, he's building the house. And in the process, we grow. And we become, there are people here that have grown so much. It's been inspiring to watch. And may it carry on, Lord. Just let it carry on. But you want to make sure, this is what's so important, is we want to keep on growing. Don't let it be a where you kind of stop. Keep on growing in grace. And I've had things happen or encounters happen or somebody said something or kind of painful things. And I know what the answer is. The answer is that it's to cause us to grow in grace so that I'll be more patient with people. I'll be more kinder to people. I'll be more benevolent to people. I'll be encouraging to people because God's doing that. He's making me grow in grace. And that's what he's doing for you. He's making you grow in grace so that you will be more perfected. The goal is perfection. And as you fit in, he takes another break and he puts it in place for the beautiful building of the house of God. And so this growing in grace, and you say, you can be cantankerous for years and years and years. You can be hard to work with, hard to live with, hard to deal with. There's that option available at all times if you want to be that way, where you're kind of self-centered and it's all about you. You can live like that, but there's a better way, and that's what is growing in grace, that you are gentler, softer, more tender, whereas before, you know, we'd push it here, and oh, boy, the reactions, terrible reactions. And after you've gone through some of these things that I'm even mentioning, you'll find that you're not nearly as difficult to be around, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about myself too, but it's because of growth in grace. And this opportunity to say, Lord, I don't want to be one of those people stuck in the cave or otherwise. So we just grow in, just growing in that beautiful, beautiful thing. And when you see it happen, you'll know it's of the Lord. Unless the Lord build the house, right? So we're always aware of that. This has to be done, something that God does. But we watch it and we marvel at it. And let's grow. Let's let our hearts be growing in grace. And number four, there's our usefulness and our fruitfulness. I'm not sure how that always works, but I know it works, that God just begins to make us more useful. It seems that you go into, you know how it is, even as a, when you were a teenager, there would be good day, bad day, good day, good day, good day, good day, bad day. And you didn't, everybody, one day you seemed like the hero, and the next day you seemed like the zero. And everybody's kind of picking on you. You know what I'm saying? It just has that kind of a feeling that, boy, is there a kick me sign on the back here? What is it? Why do I feel that I just can do nothing right today? Well, you've had days like that, right? Where you're just, and other days, seemingly not that far away, you become, everybody seems to want you and want to talk to you and want to share with you and say, well, why don't we live on this side where nice things happen and people say good things? I don't know why that is, but I think it has something to do with our usefulness. And all we can do is yield to it and that we would be fruitful. I'm praying for fruitfulness in my life. I hope you are too. To God, make me more fruitful. I think of John chapter 15 and verse 3. His whole plan is that he would shape us and mold us and pick us and pick off the bad branches in order that we might bring forth more fruit. God's got this thing about fruit, and he wants us to be fruitful and to multiply, and it's a glorious thing. It's his doings, and that here we are. As you yield, you can watch what will happen. This will be one of the best moments of your life as you start seeing God doing his work in your life, and you're fruitful and more useful. And, wow, I could talk more about that, but I'll move. Number five. There's a place where we do what God wants done. There's just things he wants done. And the thing that he wants done the most is brokenness. Now, don't confuse brokenness with woundedness. Woundedness isn't a good thing. That's what you want to be healed out of. But brokenness is what the Lord does. And there's nothing better than somebody who has gone through enough things in life. By the way, you can't trust anybody if they haven't gone through lots of things. That's who you trust, the person that's gone through difficulties. And so we do what God wants. This brokenness, this beautiful brokenness where you are gentle and careful and you are sensitive. And yet you're real and genuine and you do stuff that normal people do. But just to have a brokenness about your life, and you will minister powerfully out of that brokenness. That's how God, who God uses. The people who've been through the fire and the flood. Have you been through that? If you haven't, you will, if you want to grow. Not to be afraid of, nothing fearful about it. It's just it's how God does it. And the brokenness, fresh stuff, wonderful stuff comes through that brokenness. And you can tell, I remember when I met Benny and Lanny's pastor from the Philippines. And instantly, when I was in his presence, he was such a beautiful man. So, he was a former Marxist instructor at the university in Manila. And he got saved. And his wife booted him out. She said she didn't want anything to do with Christ. And she booted him out. And he was alone. And he was alone for the rest of his life. And when I was in his presence, I don't know how to say this, just moments. I was maybe less than 3 minutes. I was in his presence just saying hello. And he'd come over from Manila to minister to Lanny and Benny, probably. No doubt about that. But there I am. And I shook his hand. And I walked away to do something else, and we were down at the beach, actually. Don't forget those kind of things, right? I know exactly where we were standing. And I said to Benny and Lanny, I said, is this your pastor? He said, has he suffered? And they said, oh, yeah, he suffered a lot. He's all alone because of Christ. Wow. They said, they thought I knew. I said, I knew that. I don't know how it was, but there was a grace that was coming through him. It was unbelievable. It was just a sweetness and a kindness. And here he was. He wasn't trying to impress me. That's just what he is. That's who he is, because he's been wounded and gone through the fire and difficulties. As he's done that, there's this beautiful brokenness It was through the brokenness that the best stuff came. And I say, praise God for that. So here's a statement. Surrender increases our trustworthiness. Surrender increases our trustworthiness. There's just something about it. Good things happen when you go through those things. And you don't choose it. Unfortunately, you wouldn't choose some of these things if you had a... But we're not to be afraid of it, because it's all the workings of the Lord and the building of the house. Number six. It's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit opens and closes the door. You know, we say green light, green light, green light, green light, green light, green light. Yeah? Yeah? Red light. How can it be red light? I've got plans. I'm going places. I'm doing stuff. How could this be? No, there must be some mistake here. It must be a terrible mistake, because I've been praying about this, and this is what I want. I told God about this already. So it's got to be green. It can't be red. It's red. Have you not seen that? Can we trust a God that we will not just thank him for the green lights, but we'll thank him for the red lights, where everything grinds to a halt. And now you're kind of stuck. You don't know what you're supposed to do. But that's just how this works. And it's in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher. And this is where we have to trust God. Say, God, I'm just trusting you that this is working out for your purposes and your holy intent as you build the house and include me into that building. And to see that, the Holy Spirit opening a door. I have prayed with people, for example, for jobs, and we prayed that there was a really, really good job, and there's as we prayed with this individual, we were tears were, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your wonderfulness and getting this job, and the next day it was just taken away, and this individual cried and wept, and they said, how can it be? I was depending on that. And I said, well, I guess the Lord had other purposes. No, he needed. It's not right. I said, that was my job. I think the Lord is just gently closing the door. I mean, there's nothing to pray about, as much as we wish there was, and so the door closes. It's disappointing, right? It's disappointing when the door is closed, when we want them to open, and that we can go in and out of because of that. But God's ways are just not our ways. And we have to learn that over and over and over again. God's ways are better and God's ways are higher. And we have to accept them both and with great joy in our hearts. So when the Holy Spirit opens and closes the door, is again part of this building up, part of this, just the building up of the body and the building up of our lives. Number seven, when God is up to something. Oh, yeah, he's up to something. God is up to something. He's always up to something. And instead of us saying, we can kind of convince God to get on our side and to get thinking how we think and doing how what we do, that's what we want, most of us do. That's what I want anyway. And then to realize that God is up to something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 7, it says that power belongs to the Lord. Yeah, I guess it does. Power belongs to the Lord. And not to us. Not to us, but to the Lord. Wow. Can we trust the Lord for today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Can we trust him that he's, whatever we're doing, he's doing something before we got there? The doctrine of prevenient grace is that God was always first. He's been at first working and working and working. And we fit into it, and it's just believing that if that didn't work out, he's got something else, something better, something beautiful, and we'll just yield ourselves to the Lord, just saying, Lord, I know you're up to something, and I surrender my life to you in every way I can. Number eight, there's the danger, always the danger, of using force to make it happen. I think you can convince, you can twist God's arm. I think you can. I think you can twist his arm and harangue him every day about this thing you needed and wanted in your life, and just to make it happen. But the problem with that, and that's always the way of the flesh. The way of force is the way of flesh, because that's what the world does, right? We manipulate and we pressure to get what we want. Whereas this is something a little different. But we must be careful. Am I manipulating this? Am I trying to make something happen? Have I got some agenda here that God has to do what I want him to do? Or can I trust him knowing that I don't need to use force? I don't need to make... See, we get panicky. I think that's what happens. We get panicky and we want certain things to happen to come out of this. And sometimes the Lord does, sometimes he doesn't. It's just we trust him that we won't have to use any kind of manipulative force or control. We can control people to make something happen too. So we say, God, I'm not going to make this happen. You know where I live. You know my address. And you can give me a phone call when you want me to, when you want to talk to me. But I'm not going to try and twist this to make it happen to my way. So that's the danger of using force. Number 9, then there is God's glorious, wonderful purpose for our life. And Psalm 138 talks about that, to fulfill his purpose for our lives. Wow, that is so precious. And then there is God's, to affirm, let me back up here. You hem me in and behind and before. And you lay your hand upon me to fulfill your purposes for me. That's Psalm 138, verse 8, and Psalm 139, verse 5. These divine purposes. God is working, and he's not done yet. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. I assure you that if you are yielding yourself to the Lord, letting God chip away, shape you, mold you, as you allow him to do that, I think you're going to see the wonderful shapings of God and how he's used that to bless you and to encourage you, but also to deal with you so that we are not just getting answers to our prayer, but that we're becoming like the Lord. And this is the whole process of becoming like the Lord. And we just trust the Holy Spirit to do some fresh things, new things, beautiful things. And our job is just to trust him and to let him build the house. And I'm a part of it and you're a part of it. And so this is what we want to do with our lives, is come under his authority and under his ways, and let his ways be my ways. I want to shape, to bring that around. And I don't know why God's doing certain things. I have no idea. Just no idea. But we pray for one another and we encourage one another that somehow God's ways will be fulfilled. And most of all, that the house will be built up. God's spiritual house built up as a multi-splendid thing, where we say, wow, God, I love your house, your spiritual house, and the people that are in it, and we're shaped by him and molded by him. And then there's life that flows out of that, I think, to other people. But it's a beautiful thing. You know, the other day, there's a young family that dropped in to see me, because of Brother Dave Campbell. And their family had been in a bad accident, really bad. Their daughter was killed, and their niece was killed. And they came here. You know, there's not a lot you can say when that something like that happened. You can't. And I was glad to pray for them. But you know, that's where we probably shine best, to lift up somebody. The joy here is that life flows out of the house of the Lord. And if we're sensitive, we can be used of the Lord in a very powerful way. And I heard later that it was an encouragement, that our church was an encouragement to help them through that process. And there's not much. I just found myself saying, "Oh God, there are so many people that have gone through things, and we must minister your life and your care, and because they need it, they need it." And I was just praying for the family. It just that somehow God would bring about something supernatural. But we say, can't tell them what to do. We say, God, work a work. To be in the right place at the right time with some beautiful but broken people. And he restoreth my soul. Isn't that what the psalmist says? He restores my soul. There are so many people that we in the church of God that to pray for and to uphold, because they need to be healed. There's so much pain. There's just nothing that I can do or you can do, or pithy little sayings or crazy, you know, scriptures dropping. Well, Romans 8:28, and wrong time. That's not what nobody needed to hear. That's not that time. But on the other hand, there's a place where we can be a blessing to people. And it comes out of this healthiness as we're yielding and letting God work us and shape us and mold us and letting the doors open when he wants to. When that's happening, there's a place where this life comes out of. And all we can do is let God be God and to share the Lord where it's needed. Because I know this, there is so much pain in some people's lives. If the Lord doesn't heal them, they'll be in despair. I prayed here this morning that when people come in today and this service and the next service, is that somehow they would go out of here with hope, that there would be some hope, that something would be good, they'd be healed or touched or ministered or the marriage gets improved. It would just be a beautiful thing. So you might be going through the cave right now. You might be being shaped, being molded, but let it happen and let God work a work, knowing that there's a purpose for it. It's the building up of the body of Christ. That's what we're about. We get up in the morning, we put our clothes on, we head out. Lord, use me for the building up of the body. Let me encourage, let me strengthen, let me witness, let me evangelize, whatever else it would be. Just going to say, Lord, here I am available, building your house. This house? No, this is the physical house, the spiritual house that Peter is talking, alluding to. And we are bricks in it. There's a foundation, which is Jesus, and then we build upon it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Even as I was preparing my message, I had a rejoicing time where I was just walking and praising because I could see, I just felt the Lord is as the Lord's at work, and all the concerns I might have, he's already been there before that. So I'll just open it for a second if you have any comments. I think suffering, not that we choose it, but I think suffering makes us better people. I think so. Mark.
And they said, "Shall we not? Is he not going to be receiving all of these great promises that we have?" And so they told him about Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is a lesson that was given to us as the church in Christ, the salvation of the nephew of so many things. He knows that because Abraham was privy to what God planned for and God opened his heart to.
Wow. What verse and chapter is that? Yeah.
And one other thing about Sodom and about God's plan, Hezekiah, when he was ill, God said, "You're going to die."
Wow. No, no, no. I appreciate it. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Please. Wow. Yes. Yes, yes. And he can do great things, right? That's, wow. Okay, a couple more. I think that we can trust people who have, who love the Lord, of course, but who've been through things. There's a depth to them. And that was like that pastor from Manila, a depth to them that you don't get out of a book. You just live in their presence and say, wow. And I'm being thankful that I had met him, because I knew it. I knew that he understood grace when he stood up. He actually preached that morning. He stood up. Richard, you probably remember that. And you could feel this grace coming through him. He was such so kind, so lacking in whole, you know, there was none of this. It was just gentleness that flowed through him. And thus the church is built because of that. Anybody else? It doesn't have to be profound. It's just maybe your observation. Well, we'll wait till you have your book out on it. And meanwhile, we'll go for coffee. But let's pray that the Lord would use us in the lives of people, that the shapings and moldings would take place the way they're supposed to. And it's for the building up of a great and beautiful building. So, dear Lord, we thank you that unless you build the house, we labor in vain. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for your purposes, your intentions. We thank you, God, that it's all, you've got everything under control. And even those that are suffering here today, that have gone through some hard, very hard trips, we pray, God, you'd encourage them and help them and inspire them despite the great agony they've gone through. So, Lord, we thank you. We commit ourselves to you. And we just pray this week would be a great week, a wonderful week of you working your thing through our lives. And we'll give you praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll see you on the patio. Bless you.